If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Action. The trumpet is sounding. The train is pulling in the station. Boy, it'd have been great if I'd really been preaching on that, wouldn't it? Chloe. The book of Action, chapter 2. Very familiar verse of scripture to Pentecostals. Amen. You ought to be able to quote it. Now, church, let me point something out to you. I was preaching one night, and this guy come up to me after church. He said, I've been here two nights now. You're kind of a slanted preacher. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, everything you preach, you get off on Pentecost, or you talk about the Holy Ghost. I said, well, sir, I'm preaching a series this week on the Holy Ghost. This is called a Holy Spirit revival. He said, well, don't you preach on anything else? I said, sure I do. He said, well, why are you doing that every night? I said, well, if you'll notice the sign out front, we're Church of God, we're Pentecostal. We're not ashamed of what we are. He looked at me sort of funny. I said, now, if I come to your church, you're going to act like y'all do. Come on, church. I mean, if I go to a Baptist church, I expect them to act like Baptists. They act different. It kind of blows my mind. I mean, I went to a Baptist church in Chattanooga one night, and they got to dancing in the aisle, shouting, falling out in the spirit, and I'm like, what in what's going on? And of course, I was at Ron Phillips' church, and that's the way they act. Glory. Because about 85-90% of that church is filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I go to Methodist church, I expect them to act like Methodists. I was come up and cut my teeth in some Methodist churches as a kid. My dad was a backslid Methodist preacher, so I understand they sing the doxology and somebody brings the fire in, lights the candles, then takes the fire back out at the end of the service. And, that's the way they do it. I expect them to do it that way. I go to Catholic church, I expect them to act like Catholics. I expect the priest to bless them, come down through there with that censer, throwing water on them. Amen. Some of y'all ain't never been to a Catholic church. They do that. Amen. If he came down there turning cartwheels, I'd about pass out. But I do have to admit, I was invited to preach at a Catholic church in Dolphin Island. Priest said, we can't use the sanctuary. They'd shoot both of us, but we're going to go back there in the fellowship hall, and we're going to have church. We had about 45 people a night. Every night, we'd have to peel him up and tote him home. He'd been to Brownsville, got filled with the Holy Ghost, and come back and got some of his folks filled with the Holy Ghost, and we throwed down for about three or four nights. Son, they were throwing out. They were putting Church of God folks to shame. What was it? Ron Phillips said, I'm thinking and learning about stuff y'all forgot. Glory. I'll never forget, I carried that priest home that last night, and he said, boy, can you stay a few more nights? I said, man, I got to be somewhere else tomorrow night for revival. He said, can you come back? I said, well, I'll try. He said, you better hurry, because if they move me off this island, you toast. Glory. They moved him, and I ain't been back, so I guess I'm toast. Glory. So I said, preacher, what are you talking about? When I go to a church with a sign out front that says, I'm Pentecostal. Now, I know that sign out front didn't say we're Pentecostal, we're Church of God, but Church of God's Pentecostal denomination. Matter of fact, we're the oldest continuing Pentecostal denomination in the world. Amen. And you say, well, preacher, what are you getting at? I want us to act like Pentecostals. I think we ought to get back to what we are. Come on, church. Smile at me. I'm going to preach on it anyway. Amen. We got too many folks today that are trying to become sophisticated. There is a Church of God that's not Pentecostal. I'm not a member of it. Won't be a member of it. I'm not Church of God because I was Pentecostal. I'm Church of God because I got saved, got delivered from drugs and alcohol, and they got to telling me about the Holy Ghost, and I got excited about something I didn't know you could get, and I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I wasn't drilled into me. It wasn't something taught into me. It's just something I found and then started studying on it after I got a hold of it. Amen. Glory. Listen to what the Bible said in the book of Acts. In case you hadn't figured out, the sermon tonight is on the Holy Ghost baptism. Amen. See, I learned something. No matter what you do, if you stick with the fundamentals, you can be successful. The fundamentals of a relationship with God, salvation, the Word of God, and the anointing of the Spirit. You hang with them, you're going to be successful as a Christian. Amen. Listen, Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. Praise God. Father, would you add your anointing to your word tonight? For it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. You say, preacher, why you think that's important to preach in a Pentecostal church? Because we got Pentecostals that are becoming non-Pentecostals real fast. We've got people that have believed in the baptism of the Holy Ghost for years that are starting to ask themselves, I wonder if it's really real. We've got others that's not asking questions. They just aren't moving in the presence of the Spirit. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, we ought to understand some things. First of all, many people today see the Holy Ghost as an influence or an energy. Amen. Oh, it's just an influence in my life. It's just an energy. And let's face it, church, one of the words we use for energy in the English language actually came from a Greek word, energeia. Amen. That word energeia means power. Amen. In Greek, it means power for service, power to move. Amen. Now, church, I'll never forget years ago, had a friend pastored Methodist church in Alberta City. He was Pentecostal, always had been. He was Pentecostal before I was. And he got over there at that church, and God began to move. God began to bless the church. And he and I was at the gym one morning working out. One of the Church of God preachers come in, and he was sitting there talking. He said, man, we had church yesterday. Well, he kind of walked off. The Church of God preacher leaned over, and he said, boy, if I just knew what church was. You know how we are. We think we're the only ones know how to have church. Amen. He undoubtedly heard him because Brother Hodo spun around and said, my Lord, the woman was playing for the offertory. She'd been seeking the Holy Ghost for almost 3 months. And God filled her with the Holy Ghost right in the middle of playing for the offertory. And said she come off that piano, went to dancing down the aisle, shouting and speaking in tongues. And said people got up, started walking out, praising the Lord. And he said, I never made it to the pulpit. So we had 7 saved, 3 got healed, 4 more got filled with the Holy Ghost. That church of God preached, said, my Lord, they had church. Glory. Amen. But now, church, the problem is this is not just an energy. I like the idea that I can get energized in the Holy Ghost, and it can anoint and move in my life and give me power to do things for God, and I like that. Amen. Matter of fact, if you turn to Ephesians chapter 1, I'm not going there, but you read Ephesians chapter 1, you're going to see the word power about 4 or 5 different times, and every one of them come from a different Greek word. The Greek language is a little strange. Amen. When they want to make a new word, they don't do like we do. We put adjectives and adverbs and stuff in there to make the word say something different. You know, I could say something like the bald-headed guy. Well, that's kind of open to a lot of Church of God fellas. I could say the bald-headed guy with a microphone, y'all know who I was talking about. We use descriptions to get in the right direction. We do the same thing with words. We put adverbs and adjectives around them to make them say different things or inflect different ways. Amen. You know, I'll never forget one of my quickest trips to the office was when I was told to give the 4 forms of the word drink. Now, in high school, I was mischievous enough. I said, drink, drank, drunk, passed out. Glory. I got a free trip to the office. Amen. Principal said, what's wrong with you? I said, I don't know. I said, I was just trying to give her the 4 forms of the verb drink. He called the teacher in. She told him what I said. He walked in and he said, son. I said, well, you got to admit, if you drink and you've drank and you get drunk, you're going to pass out. Glory. Come on, church. I know it's drink, drink, drunk, and have drunken. Amen. In the Greek, they just give you a different word. And if you read the book of Ephesians chapter 1, somewhere around the 15th verse and down to the end of that chapter, you're going to hear every one of those words written. And you're going to hear them put out. And what God was trying to tell us in Ephesians chapter 1 is that there's power on top of power on top of power on top of power on top of power to do the work that God wants us to do. The word energeia is there. The word dunamis is there. Amen. We like that word dunamis. That's explosive power. We got a lot of folks like that. They'll hear Granny's favorite song. They blow up. And you can't get nothing out of them until they repowder. Glory. Amen. Come on, church. That's good preaching. Amen. But church, listen. The Holy Ghost is not just an energy. It's not just an influence in my life. The Holy Ghost is a person. He's just as much of the Godhead as God the Father, God the Son. There is God the Holy Ghost. It's not an aborigine or a ghost that just floats around. It is a personage of God that literally comes and dwells in our life. Amen. Listen. The Bible tells me in John 14, I'll pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Amen. Listen to what he says, that even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither know him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and he shall be in you. I said, wait a minute, preacher. Was God stuttering? No, God doesn't stutter. He understands that when you get saved, the Holy Spirit begins to dwell with you. But when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, he begins to dwell in you. And there's more to it than just having him walk with you and talk with you. It's when he gets into you and begins to take control of you and to lead, guide, and direct you into everything that's going on in your life. Could you say amen? Praise be unto God. It's a promise to us. Amen. If you go back in the Bible, this is not something we invented with the New Testament church. My Lord, all the way back to the book of Genesis, the Spirit of the Lord moved on the face of the deep in the very creation of this world. The Spirit of God was already there. Amen. Well, did God move on people? At times, God filled people and touched them at his will. You say, what are you talking about? Read the Bible. The Bible will tell you about a man named Bezalel. Said he was anointed by God in all manner of workmanship. Hallelujah. Praise God. You say, what are you getting at? This guy had an anointing in him. Amen. Notice what happened. Moses is having a problem. He's got a church that's outgrown his abilities. Amen. I mean, he started out with just two or three folks. He stutters as it is, can't speak good, has to talk through another fella. And next thing you know, he's got a church with 3 million members. He said, God, I got to have some help. God said, point you out 70 elders. He meant bring them into the tabernacle. And they bring them under the tabernacle and the Shekinah glory. What is that? The Spirit of God falls in that tabernacle. And the Bible said they begin to prophesy. Now, they didn't all jump up and start telling stories. That prophesy simply means they begin to dance. They begin to twirl. They begin to worship God. Amen. Now, notice this. Two of them was late. They were Church of God folk. They knew they were supposed to be there. They just didn't make it on time. We got Church of God folk. If you told them you're going to start at 20 till, they'll show up at 5 minutes after. Eldad and Medad's in the book of Numbers. It said they were late. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God hit them where they were. Isn't that great? I don't have to be at a certain place in a certain building. You know, we got some folks that chase the anointing all over the place, thinking, oh, they're having their revival over yonder. I got news for you. If you'll make an altar and begin to worship God and believe, God will send you anointing right where you are. Amen. But notice this. They weren't under the tabernacle. They were out in the camp. And somebody come running to Moses and said, Eldad and Medad, prophesying the camp just like those under the tabernacle. He said, suffer them not for my sake. I would to God that everybody in this camp could feel what we're feeling right now. I want to tell you, church, we need to understand it's an anointing that God has sent to the church, to them that will believe. Could you say amen? Bible said the Spirit of God touched Samson. It wasn't his long hair that made him whip everybody. His hair was his covenant. But when his hair was gone, his eyes was gone, he didn't get over there and lean up on that temple pillar and say, Lord, would you make my hair grow? He said, God, one more time, let me feel your spirit. And the anointing of God hit him, and he pushed the pillars of that temple down. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible said the Spirit of God hit David, and he come dancing down the street, worshiping God. And his wife, who was so stuck up she couldn't get around, looked down with disdain at him and thought, oh, my Lord, he's supposed to be the king, and he's running around acting like some kind of slave idiot. Amen. But you say he didn't care. No, he didn't care. He wanted to worship God. It was all about getting a hold of God. Amen. The Bible said the Spirit of God moved on Elijah. It came on Elijah. You say, what are you getting at? At times in the Old Testament, we have record where the Spirit of God touched men and women at God's will. But notice something. They were looking and longing for a day something else would happen. And that was when it wouldn't be just a little hitch here and a little touch there, but there would be an indwelling of the Spirit of God that would stay with you forever and forever and forever. Could you say amen? Listen to the Old Testament prophets, Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit in you, and it'll cause you to walk in my statutes, and you'll keep my judgments and do them. Can I tell you, when you walk in the spirit, God's going to keep you living right. Somebody say, preacher, I got a hard time living right. Why? God's give us the tools to live right. If you'll read that book and pray, God will keep you from doing wrong. Joel said this, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And upon thine handmaid and upon thy servants will I pour out the spirit of prayer and supplication. Church, we are living in the last day. It ought to be happening. God's wanting to pour out his spirit and his anointing according to the prophet Joel. Amen. Listen, in Isaiah 44 and 3, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessings upon thine offsprings. Hallelujah. Isaiah 32, 15. Unto the spirit he poured upon us from on high. And the wilderness is a fruitful field. And the fruitful field will be counted as a forest. Amen. I hear the word of Ezekiel when he said, there shall be showers of blessings. I'm telling you, church, I know there's coming a time when God is going to send one more rainstorm to the church. And we're going to see an outpouring of the spirit of God. And we need to get ready for the power and the grace of God to come into our life and say, God, one more time, I want to feel the presence of your Holy Ghost. The words of John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3 verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water under repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Glory. Mark chapter 1, I indeed baptize you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Luke 3:16, John answered, saying unto them, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchets of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And in John I hear him say, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, unto whom thou shalt see the Spirit descend and remaining on him, the same is he which will baptize with the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you something, honey. Even the prophets, John himself came telling us there's one coming. This spring is something that's going to change lives every time it comes in contact. And we need to get back to that place where we understand, I need that anointing to carry me through. I need that touch of God to move in my life. Jesus himself promised the Spirit. He said, I'll pray the Father, he'll give you another comforter. He may abide with you forever. But he goes on in that 26th verse, said, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. You say, well, preacher, that's disturbing. No, it's not, because at the end of that chapter, he said, this spake he of the Spirit, whom those that believe might receive. John 16:7, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. In the book of Acts, Jesus said, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days since. And then in the 8th verse, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and then you'll be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world. Church, if we've ever needed that anointing to help us carry the gospel of Jesus Christ, we need it today. We need a fresh touch of that fire to get in us and to set us on fire with his glory. We need a touch to help us talk to our loved ones that are lost. Come on, church. Amen. What did it say about Stephen? He said, no, when he spoke, his words cut them in their heart. That's an anointed word coming out of your mouth. It's not just words. It's a word anointed of God that'll change lives. And if we've ever needed it, we need it. Could you say amen? Amen. Isaiah said it is the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage and sets the captive free. Glory. Say, what are you talking about, preacher? The apostles continued preaching about it. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, then Peter said to them, repent, be baptized, every one, in the name of Jesus Christ, and the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off. Oh, some of y'all missed the shout point. He said, this is to you, to your children, but also them that's where I come in. I'm one of them that's afar off. I wasn't a Jew. I wasn't born a Jew. I've been adopted in a family. I wasn't around Jerusalem, but I'm far off. And because he said, them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, to them that he called gave he power to become the children of God. If you're born again, you got a right to the gift of the Holy Ghost in your life. You got a right to have God minister to you with the power of his love. Hallelujah. Be prepared to receive. Somebody said, what are you talking about? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You ever notice, church, that when we get hungry enough for something, we'll go after it? Huh? There are times I go a while without getting something that I really like to eat, and it'll start bothering me. Y'all wouldn't believe that by looking at me, but y'all, I want y'all to look at me like y'all ain't never had that happen. You eat something and you really like it, and you hadn't had it in a while, and all of a sudden you realize they got it somewhere. You will figure out a way to get it the right place at the right time to get some of whatever it is you're looking for. Come on, church. Whether it's a sweet tooth or some kind of casserole or something you got a hold of. Lord. I'm German by descent. My grandmother used to cook German pastries. We were in Montana in the middle of nowhere, stopped at this place, and they had fresh apple dumplings, and the woman was German, and I like to make myself sick. I got one to eat, one to go, and one for after a while. Glory. Amen. Come on, church. Apple dumplings made by a German is hard to beat. Glory. Don't believe me. They made two movies about that, the Apple Dumpling Gang. I could have been in them movies. Glory. Amen. John 7:37, the last days, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Glory. Hear the word. Acts 10:44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. Glory. Acts 11:15, and as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us in the beginning. Peter's preaching, and while he's preaching, the Holy Ghost fell. Amen. Tarry in the presence of God. Jesus said in Luke 24:49, behold, I send the promise of the Father unto you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you shall be endued with power from on high. You've got to pray for the infilling. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake word of God with boldness. Luke 11:13, and if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Church, most of you sitting here, your kids is rotten like mine. Because if they wanted it, you found a way to get it. Huh? It might be a knockoff, but they don't have to know that. Smile. I remember Hardee's one time was giving out these little dolls. What was it? Some kind of short tails or something. It was off a movie. And if you bought a hamburger, you got one of them. And I decided I was going to collect them all for my kids. And everywhere I went, I'd stop in at Hardee's and buy a hamburger to get one of them. I eat so many hamburgers, I hated them. And that's hard for me to do because I love good hamburger. But I got some, but you know what? I finally had to drive all the way to Mississippi because I found a place that had the one I couldn't find. And I went over and got a hamburger and got the last one they had. Amen. And I brought it home and stuck it on that shelf. So they had them shirt tails, I believe is what they were. Amen. They were off a little cartoon or something that Disney had out. But I got them for them and I had their collection. Amen. I mean, Alex got to collecting the little raisins. I had every raisin I ever thought about creating for whoever was giving them out, because I'd get out and get them. When I'm looking for something, I'm going to find them. Come on, church. But if I know how to do that for my kids, how much more does God know how to give the good gifts of his blessings into my life that I can have what I desire? Come on, church. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? We've got to get to that place where we're willing to receive the fullness and the power of God. Listen, church, I came into the church of God. I know nothing about church of God. I mean, I'd never been to a Pentecostal church in my life till the night I got saved. The only other time I was in a Pentecostal service, I sat in the back of the church while my grandmother's funeral was going on, and that was in 1963, which was 10 years before I graduated, so I was, what, all of 8 years old. And I always thought that's weird. Because, see, the Buell Church of God, they'd come out and run around the building and shout, and we'd sit up on the hill and laugh at them. We'd be up there laughing. That goes Uncle so-and-so. Look at him. He crazy, ain't he? And I never forget, I went to the Church of God. God saved me. Next thing you know, they start revival. We used to be noted for that. We'd have 5, 6 of them a year, and now we're down to 2 or 3, and people complain. Amen. I understand it gets into your computer time, and you can't watch CSI and all that kind of stuff. Probably good for you. You're missing all that. Some of you need to quit putting stuff on a computer. I don't need to know when you brushed your teeth the last time. Glory. Well, I'm going to brush my teeth and go to bed. Why don't you just turn the computer off and go to bed? You know, buy is sufficient. I just threw that in. Won't cost you nothing. Glory. We started revival, and I started going to revival, and this old boy spun around in front of me and said, "Hey, you need to get sanctified." I said, "What's that?" He said, "I don't know, but you need it." Man, I went up to the altar, and let me tell you something, church. I just need some of y'all to go to Buell once. It won't take but one trip. You'll understand how I was raised in the Church of God. They wild. You ever heard they'll shout to drop in a hat? They throwing hats down coming through the door. They don't wait till the hat hits the floor. Glory. They'll take the hat off, holding a hand, shout. And I went to that altar, and let's face it, church, the night I got saved, I didn't know preachers didn't pray for you in the Church of God. I went up and knelt down. 50 people got around me. How, how? And I'm like, oh, God, you know. At least now I had an idea that when I went up there, there was somebody going to hit me and somebody going to shake me. Glory. I went up there to pray, didn't I? I wanted to get sanctified. I didn't know what it was the morning that boy told me. I went up there to get sanctified, and sure enough, they started praying for me. And they're dancing around, shouting, and one of them grabbed me up like a sack of taters and run around the church. Now, that church ain't a whole lot wider than these, so you can imagine what my head was doing when we went by the window seals. I don't know if I was in the spirit, but I was about out, and he got back to the front. Glory. He's sitting there holding me on the side, and he got to bouncing while he was holding me. Oh, he ain't talking about no little fella. This was Edward Chanel. And Brother Ed was 6'6", about 300. Sunday school superintendent. He'd invite people to church. They'd come because they wasn't sure he'd gotten saved. Glory. He got to jumping up and down. About that time, Brother Bob Jones, I love him to death, but he's real laid back. He grabbed my head, held it perfectly still, and was trying to talk to me while this guy was jumping. Finally, the guy dropped me on the floor. I jumped up and rolled around and shouted a little bit, and they said, "Whoa, he's got it now." I went, whoa, I'm sanctified. I got it. I went back the next night, and that boy said, you got the Holy Ghost? I said, what's that? He says, better than what you got last night. Glory. I went to the altar and prayed the rest of that revival, didn't get the Holy Ghost. Hard-headed. I kept trying to understand what was going on. I kept trying to decipher everything to make sure I wasn't getting something that wasn't real. Then it hit me one night. I was praying one afternoon about getting the Holy Ghost, and I was, God, don't let me get nothing real. And God says, I suppose everything in your life is real up until I got a hold of you. Come on, church. You're looking at a reformed drug addict, alcoholic. None of my life was real before I got in church. So I'm ready to get anything now. I've done got hungry enough. I don't care. I go to the Cody Church of God. God filled me with the Holy Ghost. I left that place, drove home. Didn't even realize I drove home. I mean, I imagine I scared the devil out of everybody in that car because I was riding down the road. And if you've ever rode home from Cody up near Fayette down 159, that road just takes one curve after the other, and they was all prayed through time we got back to Buell. Glory. I jumped out of that car shouting in the parking lot, and the guy across the road called my mama and said, Miss Troop, your boy down here drunk again. Glory. I was, but he should have known the difference. He was Church of God fella. Man, I went to the Coker Church of God the next week to a fellowship meeting. A fellow walked up, slid his arm around me, said, you got the victory? I said, if it's better than the Holy Ghost, don't even start preaching. Let's just go to the altar. I mean, I thought every time you went to church, you just got something else. But it's true, you do that. Because, you see, there is one baptism, but there's many baptizings. Amen. I got the Holy Ghost 20 years ago. If you ain't got nothing since then, you behind times. Amen. Come on, church. Amen. You ever notice you be working on your computer and every once in a while say, we got some updates? Amen. Every once in a while, God has to give you a little update, give you a little fresh touch, a little fresh anointing. Come on, church. Hallelujah. When I was a kid, I used to have to build a fire in the fireplace, and you had to bank it just right at night so it'd burn all night long. If you didn't, you had to go somewhere where that thing, some of y'all think you pop popcorn in and get ashes that are hot to start a fire back with. Amen. And I always learned how to bank that thing up, but I also knew every once in a while you got to put a fresh log in. Every once in a while you got to stoke that fire just a little bit. And you know what? As a Christian, every once in a while I need a fresh stoking. I need to stir up the gift that is in me. That's what Paul said. Resuscitate the fire. Every once in a while I need a fresh touch. Every once in a while I need some updates put into my computer of the anointing of God. I need to get a little closer to what God wants me to be, because once I've learned one thing, he's ready to move me to the next level, and I need an anointing that's good for that level. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? It's a gift. Church, I want to point something out to you. If somebody gives you a gift, do you have to keep begging for it? You ever seen people get down there and they pray, oh God, please fill me with the Holy Ghost, fill me with the Holy Ghost, fill me with the Holy Ghost. If I give you a present, all you got to do is open it up and take it. God's give you a gift. You don't have to keep begging for something. He's just going to give it to you. The minute you get hungry enough, you'll open it up and let it flow in. Hello? Come on, church. God wants to feel somebody. God wants to touch somebody. God wants to give a fresh anointing to somebody in this service tonight. If we've ever needed anything, we need a fresh anointing of God. We need some fresh move of God in our life. Stand with me all over the house. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father in heaven, I thank you tonight, God, for your word. Master, you said it's not by might, nor by power, but by thy spirit, saith God. Father, I ask that you'd reach down and touch this house with your anointing. Move on us, God, with a fresh touch of your glory. God, put a hunger in us just to know you like we've never known you.